Support for Radio Boise is brought to you in part by Remedy Skincare. Remedy Skincare is located at 15th and Hayes in the North End. Services include skin analysis and customized facials using handmade organic skincare products, which are also available for purchase. More information can be found at remedyskincareboise.com or by calling 344-5883.
You are listening to KRBX 89.9 FM, Caldwell, Boise.
Welcome to Chew on This, where we believe your health is in your hands right before it's in your mouth. When we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Ashley Davis, MD, about gluten intolerance and celiac disease. If you are reminiscing about the good old days of dinner table French bread and are wondering why everyone seems to be passing, stay tuned to Chew on This. Welcome back. On today's Chew on This, Dr. Ashley Davis, MD, specializes in diagnosing and treating patients with celiac disease and gluten intolerance. Dr. Davis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Firstly, can you tell us what gluten is?
Yes, gluten is a protein in wheat and rye and malt and barley. And it is a protein that is usually indigestible and will often make people sick.
What's the difference between celiac disease and gluten intolerance?
Celiac disease is an autoimmune disease that is diagnosed after a certain amount of time of ingesting gluten. Celiac disease can present at any age. It's an acquired disease. You're not born with celiac disease. And people who acquire it, there's an age range from age 2 all the way to age 92. Oftentimes, the celiac disease will present after some type of stress in someone's life. So many patients I've encountered have developed celiac disease after their third baby has been born. Other times, we can't figure out a trigger for why now, but people do develop celiac disease. You have to have a genetic chromosome that would allow you to develop it. So not everyone will ever develop celiac disease, but most people have this genetic marker. So there are a lot of people in Idaho and in the United States who are at risk of developing celiac disease.
And do the gluten intolerant also have that same marker?
It can vary. It really doesn't matter because gluten intolerance is oftentimes the same number of symptoms, but they don't actually develop the same type of damage inside their intestinal lining or along their nerves.
And once this damage has taken place in the intestinal lining, which from what I know, it has a lot to do with the villi, the little hairs that are picking up your nutrients within your intestine, they get broken down in celiac disease. Is that correct? What's the science there?
Okay, so people with celiac disease, when they absorb their calories and their nutrition from their intestines, their villi, which are finger-like projections, they call them, their villi are actually like a colander that has big holes that let spaghetti go through instead of holding on to your food. The celiac person's villi are damaged and have too big of holes, and so that's probably the genetic thing that all celiacs carry. So as they continue to ingest gluten, the villi start to resorb and to help the poor celiac patient not keep absorbing all the gluten into their bloodstream. in these big holes, gluten actually, which is supposed to be indigestible and too large to actually get absorbed through the colander, because celiac patients have big holes in their colander, the gluten actually enters the bloodstream along with the iron, along with the vitamin C, along with all the other vitamins. And so as a celiac disease person progresses, their villi start to wither away to try to protect the patient from getting the gluten. And so a mild celiac patient will still have long villi with holes, but the antibodies will already start to present in their blood. As celiac progresses, the villi go away. And so then easily to diagnose with a biopsy and the blood test as well.
Mm. So when the villi go away, you're not just avoiding absorbing gluten into your bloodstream, but now you're not absorbing minerals, nutrients, vitamins, anything else you need for
to
survive.
Yeah. The main vitamins that aren't being absorbed are the fat-soluble vitamins. And the fat-soluble vitamins are always digested in the small intestine, and it's vitamins A, D, E, and K. And then iron comes after that. So the fat-soluble vitamins go first, and then the iron, and then sometimes B12 and more vitamins down the road.
Mm. And how did this become your specialty?
My daughter was diagnosed with failure to thrive when she was about 18 months, and it was very difficult to try to get her to eat. And after another 8 months of trying to figure out what was wrong with her, we finally diagnosed her with celiac disease. After that diagnosis, I began to research celiac, and I actually wondered how I could have missed the diagnosis for so long, because it was pretty obvious that she was a classic celiac, and even though she was only two.
What were some of her symptoms at that age?
So she was not growing. She was failure to thrive. She weighed 16 pounds when she turned two. She refused almost all food. She was only eating 5 bites of food a day. She progressively got irritable, and she wouldn't walk anymore. She wanted to be held all the time, but she wanted to cry all the time. So it was a very hard to console her. And then she also had mushy stools, so she never really made a nice formed turd, as I like mm-hmm. to ask patients now, because it wasn't diarrhea in my mind as a doctor. I thought diarrhea was, 10 times a day and watery, but hers was just toothpaste or mush. And so I'm really clear now when I talk to patients about their stool. Is it mushy? She was just a miserable child, and just her appetite was just horrible. So it was pretty traumatizing.
Really hard.
Yes. So anyway, I wanted to make it my life's goal to make sure other families didn't go through this ever again. And I feel like I'm helping, one family at a time right now. So
great. Yeah. I've been gluten-free for 4 years.
Oh, good.
And I went gluten-free as a result of my niece being diagnosed with failure to thrive when she was a year and a half years old.
Wow.
And she had the same symptoms. She was inconsolable. And I watched the whole process of mom just trying to console her, and it just about put mom over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So she set out to find out what the deal was, and she ultimately ended up at a naturopath that just did muscle testing and said, take her off wheat and dairy. Within 2 weeks, I'd say, the child was a completely different temperament. She wasn't crying and whining anymore. She was wanting to eat. And I thought, that is so interesting. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to go off gluten too. And then I'll kind of be her voice and see what it's like. And then I'll tell mom what it's like. And so ever since then, I've been gluten free. And I had so many symptoms go away that I thought, wow, it's really probably sparked this radio show for me.
Wow.
It's opened my eyes to how food really does affect the body, and how you don't have to be sick. You don't have to have symptoms, even symptoms as common as eczema or acne.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely found a lot of joy in my career suddenly when this happened. And so, I mean, it's definitely changed my life, and it's made my practice way more meaningful, my life meaningful.
Well, you're really helping.
Yeah,
really helping.
I know. It really helps. And I know sometimes I ask people to try the diet for a few weeks after doing the appropriate testing just to see if it's gluten intolerance, because ultimately what I found was that of the patients that I was so convinced would be celiac, as I did the appropriate test and they came back and they had all the symptoms of celiac disease, what I found was that a majority of these patients I was so sure had celiac actually did not have celiac, but they all responded to the diet. And that is ultimately where I am now, is that gluten is very harmful for a lot of people who don't have celiac. And that's even made my practice even more rewarding, because I was very frustrated at first that everyone didn't have celiac. But now I realize that most people are never going to have celiac. They're going to have severe gluten intolerance, and they are going to look the same on their symptoms and their response. So
yes, I never did test. I never have tested. Mm-hmm. I just eliminated, and that was good enough for me. And after 3 weeks of eliminating 100%, because if you don't eliminate 100%, as soon as you get a little bit in your system, you start craving it. And that's where you can, you know, it's not really about willpower in my mind. It's about body chemistry and the addiction allergy cycle, where you want it, you want it. And then you have it, and then you're satiated, and then it's hard to go off again. But after 3 weeks of being completely clean of gluten, I could walk past a pastry shelf and have no attraction to it.
Right.
So it's actually been very easy for me to abstain from once it was out of my system. But if you go on and off, it's not so the case.
Yeah. I mean, I think for sure it takes at least 7 days to kind of even get over that gluten craving.
Or the detox from getting rid of it in your system.
Yeah. With my daughter, we could tell one of her worst symptoms was she had what I call rages. And she was having 15 or 20 rages a day prior to being diagnosed. And we couldn't even hardly get through a day without just everyone screaming. She was inconsolable. She was oftentimes put in her room by herself at age two.
You thought, oh, the terrible twos are really terrible for this one.
Yeah, yeah. And on day five of trying the gluten-free diet, she only had 3 rages. And we sat down at the dinner table together, and we all had a meal, and we talked, and there was no screaming. And my other child said, this is the best day of my life. And it was really amazing to see how the disruption wasn't there anymore. And then by the time she was 14 days, she had not one rage the entire day. And we knew that was the diagnosis. And so we've been trying hard ever since to keep her gluten-free.
Which is really hard as
yes,
a mom.
Yeah.
Dr. Ashley Davis, MD on gluten intolerance and celiac disease. When we come back, do you unknowingly suffer from gluten intolerance? The signs and symptoms may vary from person to person and are often opposite in nature. For instance, some may have constipation while others suffer from irritable bowel or diarrhea. Are you listening to your body for the signs and symptoms? Stay with us.
Earthly Delights Landscapes loves Radio Boise. A full-service landscaping company, Earthly Delights specializes in native, edible, and water-wise landscapes. They also offer organic landscape, garden, and lawn maintenance, doing so by bicycle whenever possible. Additional information is available at earthlydelightslandscapes.com or by calling Casey O'Leary at 284-3712.
This is your host, Kim Metis, and you are listening to Chew on This, where we believe your health is in your hands right before it's in your mouth. If you'd like to listen to Chew on This but miss the live show on Radio Boise every Sunday at 5 p.m., you can go to chewonthisidaho.com, where you can listen to recordings of past shows and find informational links for all our guests. Next week on Chew on This, we speak to a panel of moms who have children with food allergies. For a mother, hearing your child is sick isn't easy. Learning that helping them heal means taking away their favorite treats is even harder. And try talking to the school district, the coach, and other parents about your child's needs. learn how these mothers are coping and their strategies to educate their children and their peers about how food affects health next Sunday at 5 p.m. on Chew on This. If you're just joining us, Dr. Ashley Davis is with us in the studio. Gluten intolerance and celiac disease are more prevalent in our culture than ever. Dr. Davis, what's currently the most accurate diagnostic test for celiac disease and gluten intolerance?
Well, for celiac disease, the most accurate test still remains to be an intestinal biopsy. And the intestinal biopsy is more accurate the more biopsies the doctor takes. You can still have a negative biopsy and still be celiac if they miss the part that is damaged.
Sure, because the intestines are very long and have a lot of surface area. A
lot of surface area, and not every inch of, you know, coverage is going to be the same amount of damage. And so there's also a blood test that you can do to look for celiac disease, and that blood test was only invented about 10 years ago. The best test for gluten intolerance is an elimination diet. And I usually say 3 weeks of 100% gluten-free diet will just begin to tell you if you might have gluten intolerance. Most people should not go on an elimination diet until they do a blood test and or a biopsy. And I usually recommend a blood test to every one of my patients right when I recommend going on a gluten-free diet. The most important reasons: a very sick patient won't want to restart gluten once they realize this is helping. They won't want to go back on a gluten challenge so that they can then get a blood test. The blood test is less than $200. And once you start taking away the so-called, what I refer to like poison, the damage to the body starts to go away and the blood test actually returns to normal. So if you go and get a blood test while you're not eating the gluten, the blood test may appear normal. And some people, including myself, will give people a 3-week gluten-free challenge and then do a blood test if we then want to know. But I think it's more important just to do the blood test to begin with. It's important to know if it's celiac disease versus gluten intolerance because you may have some relative somewhere that's struggling with a failing to thrive child who needs to know if there's an aunt somewhere in the family that does have celiac disease. And I know it would have helped my case had we known that our family carried the celiac gene. Mm-hmm. And it helped me diagnose my second daughter with celiac too by realizing that the first daughter had it.
So both of your children.
Yeah, they both have it. The older daughter is healthy with it, but she still had celiac disease. She didn't have any symptoms of it.
And the importance of diagnosing celiac is beyond just that you don't want damage from the gluten. Is the celiac is known as kind of a gateway disease to other potential diseases such as autoimmune diseases like lupus. And because you're not absorbing nutrients, you can end up with a whole host of other more serious conditions if you don't get a handle on this, correct?
Yes, and I almost wonder if gluten might not be triggering some of these other autoimmune diseases, since these other autoimmune diseases aren't known to have a trigger. There is nothing known what causes lupus and rheumatoid. And yet, if a huge percentage of people with autoimmune diseases also have celiac, it stands in my thinking that it's the gluten that might be triggering it. And oftentimes, most people find out they have one autoimmune disease before they ever find out they have celiac. So, And honestly, I've seen at least two of my patients with rheumatoid get cured of their rheumatoid by following a gluten-free diet, and also one Crohn's patient as well.
Wow,
and
that's cool.
That's pretty good evidence to me that gluten was somehow contributing to their symptoms of joint pain and bowel issues.
Mm. I have seen several guests who suggest that genetic modification of foods may be to blame for the onslaught of food allergies in recent years. How do you account for the rise of celiac disease and other food allergies?
I think that our whole diet is based on wheat. You know, since the 80s, we've been told we need to eat as much grain and as much wheat as we can. And as they've been trying to find a heartier type of wheat that has higher gluten content because it's actually the gluten that helps the wheat grow better in colder climates. And so a lot of the breads and stuff are made with this high gluten wheat. And I don't know if that, you know, just selecting for that type of wheat is making it worse or if it's just the sheer amount of wheat that people eat. But, you know, once you try to go gluten-free, you start to realize you are eating a ton of gluten, 3 meals a day in most American families. It's incredible how much wheat people were eating.
Do you think that the prolonged use of wheat when you're intolerant could lead you to get celiac disease or trigger your celiac if you have it as a genetic marker?
Yes, I think for sure. Like if you eat a low gluten diet, you're from the beginning of time, you might be at lower risk or it may take longer amount of time for you to develop it. I think people who eat a lot of frosted mini wheats, you know, that's a huge gluten content if you eat that every day. Certain cereals and
so I guess beer. There are different levels of gluten intolerance as well. Or like you said, one of your daughters was symptomatic and one was not. So.
Right, yeah. The amount of symptoms is incredible. A lot of people don't want to believe they have celiac because they aren't symptomatic. They say only 30% of patients with celiac disease have any bowel issues at all, any digestive issues. And because it manifests as a skin disease and as neurologic problems, you don't have to have any intestinal symptom at all for me to test someone because my experience has shown that it can be so just neurologic. So
there are a myriad of symptoms. What are some of the most common symptoms that you see in both children and adult patients?
Well, with children, are we talking celiac or gluten intolerance? Because
let's talk about both. Start with gluten intolerance?
Okay. With gluten intolerance, a lot of times it's a lot of mood. So maybe kind of an irritable mood or just kind of cranky, low energy oftentimes. Kids won't want to play as hard and as often. They might just want to sit around. Fatigue seems to be a huge symptom of gluten intolerance in both children and in adults. One of the more interesting things that my patients have told me is that their brain fog went away. And I've heard it said the curtain was lifted and I could think so much clearer once I went off gluten. And again, you know, 5 years ago, I might not have understood that or believed it, but it has happened so repeatedly to me that is one of the first things I ask people is, do you think more clearly? Obviously, there's a lot of heartburn in the U.S., and heartburn is one of the main symptoms I see in adults who have gluten intolerance. Any type of I don't digest my food well. If you're someone who's walking up and down the aisles of the intestinal medications, whether it's constipation, if you have to buy any products in that over-the-counter part of the grocery store, that's a symptom of gluten intolerance. So one of the ones I didn't know about 5 years ago was the canker sores. And I still have a lot of patients I wish I could find from 10 years ago who would always ask, why do I have so many canker sores? Why do I get these ulcers in my mouth? And that is totally a symptom of celiac disease and can be gluten intolerance. I've seen some people with celiac and gluten intolerance who actually have burning with urination, which you would not think makes sense, but I think the gluten causes inflammation on a lot of different linings in your body, including your mouth, including your bottom, including your urinary system. So I've had people have bleeding hemorrhoids that clears up when you go gluten-free, more than one patient, which, again, that doesn't seem possible. Some of the more common symptoms, headaches are really common in children and in adults. I think tingling, like in an arm or a leg, tingling is a more common symptom of celiac disease. So it's called peripheral neuropathy, and for years there's been a huge amount of people that no one can figure out why they have a neuropathy or tingling in an arm or leg, and gluten seems to be associated with that. Even in my non-celiacs, let's see, another big one in adults is joint pain. And so, you know, that's a common symptom presenting to a family doctor like myself, or people feel stiff in the morning, or their neck is sore, or they just ache kind of when they lay in bed in the morning, and they just hurt when they want to get up. I have had more than 10 patients get better on a gluten-free diet who were not diagnosed with celiac, who their aching went away and they didn't hurt as much. Fibromyalgia has been commonly misdiagnosed over the years instead of celiac disease. And so fibromyalgia and celiac do go together. I've seen muscle twitches like Charlie horses in your legs go away with a gluten-free diet.
I'll tell you my most interesting symptom that went away. It's very bizarre. So as a child and into adulthood, until I went gluten-free, I had this thing that I called the bad feeling. I called it to myself. I wasn't talking to anyone about this.
Oh, man.
And the bad feeling was this kind of wash over of kind of doom, or maybe even like low self-esteem, or that something just wasn't quite right. And I have a background in science, so I have a degree in geology, and I've been the why child all my life. That's, you know, I'm always questioning. So I used to analyze that and think, did someone just say something to me that hurt my feelings or didn't seem right? What is this feeling? And I could never identify it as coming from any kind of external source.
Oh.
And so after going gluten-free, after you go gluten-free, if you're intolerant, your symptoms start falling away and you don't even necessarily notice that they're gone for a while. And then you think, oh, I used to, you know, get headaches all the time and I don't even do that anymore. Or I used to have the bad feeling.
Oh, wow.
And I don't have that anymore. And I thought that was a gut reaction. The bad feeling was, this is bad. Don't eat that. It's not good. It's giving you, you know, it's a gut reaction, a bad.
And neurologic, because the brain fog or the irritable feeling. I mean, a lot of my adults tell me they're less irritable.
Oh, yes. That was one of my major, ask my mother. That was one of my major lifestyles as a child.
One of the other common symptoms that I see with just gluten intolerance is anxiety.
Mm.
And people in my practice tell me every day they just feel so less worried all the time. And I have a feeling that goes with irritable and just short temper and anxiety. But it's well known depression and anxiety are also part of celiac disease. And in fact, they think schizophrenia is oftentimes part of celiac disease. So the neurological impact of gluten being possibly triggering a lot of schizophrenia it's incredible that people could be having that strong of a neurologic response.
My paternal grandmother was schizophrenic.
Oh, and sorry to hear that.
And my father died of a brain tumor at the age of 45.
Wow.
And so now, since I've developed my own theories on gluten intolerance, I really think that a lot of my genetics come down through that line in the family. And I really think that my father had suffered from low immunity because he was gluten intolerant and he was a Budweiser drinker and he was always irritable and he had so many symptoms. And the guy died when he was 45. Come on, he didn't have to do that. But
No. We
lived in a farm town. There was a lot of environmental pesticides and that type of thing. And he just didn't have the immune system to fight off anything else. And, you know, and then his mother also. And so this lineage, you will start seeing it in your family if you look.
Yeah. If ever I diagnose anyone with celiac, I encourage the entire family to come in that next day and start getting blood tested for sure for celiac. Oftentimes I do find a fairly healthy family member with celiac disease who really doesn't want to even get tested, let alone find out that they're not supposed to be eating their favorite food.
Mm-hmm.
And gluten intolerance runs the same way. It seems like if a parent is really sick from gluten, at least one child will be sick from gluten. It's just important to spread the word. I'm so happy you're doing this radio show.
Thanks. So where can we find you?
I have a family practice in downtown Boise. It's called Davis Family Medicine. I treat all ages. I do general family medicine. It's on 2nd and Idaho at 222 North 2nd Street.
And do you have a website?
I do. It's davisfamilymedicine.net.
Ashley, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You can find more information on our guests and listen to the audio recording of this and past shows at chewonthisidaho.com. Tune in next week when we speak to a panel of moms who have children with food allergies. If you're a mom who suspects that your child's illness or weak immune system might be due to a food allergy, then you won't want to miss this episode. This is your host, Kim Metis, and you've been listening to Chew on This, where we believe your health is in your hands right before it's in your mouth.